Well, today we are launching into Advent, and we're launching in with this idea of keep walking. And when I hear that phrase, keep walking, I can't help but go back to an experience I had over 20 years ago. Back when I was in college, I was a part of a group that, as part of a team-building exercise, decided that we would walk to the top of Brasstown Bald at night, in the middle of the night. And so the idea was that your motivation to keep walking up the mountain was, at the end of it, if you timed it correctly, you could see this beautiful panoramic sunset all around the mountain, seeing into multiple states. If you're not familiar with Brasstown Bald, it's the tallest point in the state of Georgia. Here in Valdosta, we would call that the hill that goes into downtown from the Crescent. When you're running, you're like, ooh, big hill, big hill. Up there, they have real mountains up in North Georgia. And Brasstown Bald is the highest point. And there's a trail that you can take that I think is about 4 or 5 miles. And so you go up that, and it takes you to the peak of Brasstown Bald off of Highway 129. And so this group of guys, we got together, and we went to the top of the mountain. And I remember there was one guy in our group that the entire time that we were going along, he just kept encouraging people, going, all right, we got to keep walking. You can do it. Got to keep walking. Got to keep going. And he just was constant, like cheerleading all the way to the top. Well, in the midst of it, there was one guy in our group who was a rather large individual who was really struggling. And so several of us kind of started taking turns helping to carry him up the mountain. And so we would kind of get one on each side, and we're kind of, you know, like he's putting his arms on us, and, you know, we'll walk a little bit further. And the idea was, all right, we just got to keep walking, just one foot in front of the other. And there was this guy, you know, the whole time cheerleading us on, keep walking, keep walking. Well, when we got done with the hike, we kind of did some superlatives for people. And so the guy who was the cheerleader got the Atlas Award. You know, remember, Atlas was the one who carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. So he got the Atlas Award for cheerleading us to the top, to which I responded, I carried the 300-pound dude up the mountain, and you get the Atlas Award? I mean, I don't remember what my superlative was, but I was not happy or impressed that all he had to do was cheerlead. But all parts were necessary in order to keep walking and to get to where you need to go. And the idea was that as we went along, we knew that the goal, that the vision we were moving towards, what we were ultimately going to experience was reaching the peak, reaching the top, that sense of camaraderie, that sense of accomplishment, and the beautiful view. Well, a few years ago, I decided to go back up to Brasstown Bald. I did not hike to the top. I drove my car. They've got a parking lot there you can drive to. And so I drove to the top, and I got this picture right here. So this is a picture that kind of gives you the view from up there. I did not get there at sunrise, so didn't have the sunrise colors on the mountains. But the reason I didn't is because there was ice on the roads, and I wanted to make sure that it had melted enough before I went up there. And I realized once I got up there, I hadn't been up there in years, and I kind of forgotten about this, but there is an observatory that you can go up to that's a little bit higher than that parking lot. So my group of guys, we walked to the parking lot and said we made it to the top, but the actual top of the mountain is this observatory. And so I said, you know, if I'm going to, you know, relive this experience, I've got to go all the way to the top. I've got to do what we didn't do over 20 years ago. And so I go up to the top of the observatory, and it was just majestic. I mean, the views were just absolutely amazing. I had this idea of where I was going. I was excited about getting there, and I just kept walking to the top until I got there. The problem was this was the way that I got up there, these steps right here. There they are. And going up really wasn't that big of a deal until I realized I had to go back down. And when I realized that I had to go back down, let's just say that I stepped on 2 or 3 of those steps and didn't step on the rest of them, but still got to the bottom somehow. So you do the math on how that happened. It was not a pleasant experience, but fortunately for me, I was there by myself and not with a group of guys that were friends from college. And so I was able to kind of limp my way back to the car in two or three pieces. And so, but I always remember that motivation, that you've got an idea of what you're trying to accomplish. You're working towards a goal. You've got this vision of trying to get to the top, of trying to get to where you need to be. And when I think about the Christian life, a lot of the Christian life is built upon that idea of working towards a vision. And so the question I want us to ask, kind of as we move through the Advent season, as we move through the series called Keep Walking, as we prepare for Christmas and get our hearts ready for celebrating this amazing season that we're looking forward to, the question is, what is the vision that we have? What is our vision that we are walking towards? What kind of vision are we walking towards individually? What vision are we walking towards corporately? When we think about trying to reach the top, trying to reach up to where we want to go, what is the vision of what we're trying to get to? What's the view at the top? When we think about our lives, when we think about our spiritual journeys, what is the end goal? What is it that we are walking towards? And I believe that Advent has this amazing way of causing us to take a step back for a moment. As society is going, hey, it's Christmas time. We had the parade. Santa showed up at the end. We are moving on. All signs are pointing towards Christmas Day. But in the church, we kind of do this weird thing where we go, hey, let's hold up for a minute. Let's take everything in. Let's take this one step at a time, and let's make sure we know exactly where we are going. And the question we're asking along the way is, what kind of vision are we walking towards? What is it that we want to experience? What is it that we want to take in? Throughout the season of Advent, we come across these incredible passages, and what they do is they describe kind of not just the first coming of Jesus, but also in the passage we heard this morning, it says, in the last days. So it's pointing towards the second coming of Jesus. And Advent kind of has that dual purpose of, yes, we are getting ready to celebrate Christmas. Yes, we are getting ready to remember Jesus being born in Bethlehem. But at the same time, we also are anticipating he is going to come again. And in that anticipation of he is going to come again, the question becomes for us, well, how do we live in the meantime? If Jesus is going to come again, how do we live in the meantime? And what is the vision that we are walking towards of what that completion looks like of seeing Jesus come and triumph that final victory? Well, the passage we read this morning kind of gives us a glimpse of that vision. This is the vision that Isaiah had. This is the vision that he saw that described what it is that we ought to be walking towards. And this is what he says. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Now, it's important to note that Mount Zion, which was the one that where the temple was, that was known as the mountain of the Lord, is not the highest mountain. It's not really that big of a mountain. This is not the brass town bald of the Middle East. And so it is saying it will literally be elevated. It will be established as the highest mountain. And it says, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. We may walk in his paths. That's an important thing to underline if you've got your Bible. So we may walk in his paths. So that is the goal. That is the vision that we are moving towards, that we would walk in his paths. And it says, the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. What a beautiful vision. This gives us a vision that we are called to move towards of hope and peace. It gives us a sense of hope in believing that everybody's going to come and call on the name of the Lord. Everyone's going to be drawn to the temple. Everyone's going to come and experience the fullness of what God's word is all about. Everyone's going to come and learn to walk in the way of the Lord. But not only that, did you hear what happens to the weapons of war? They will be turned into plowshares. They will be beaten down. Nation will no longer make war against nation. They will no longer learn war is actually the language that's given, implying that it's a learned thing, not something that's necessary or indeed natural to our being. It's something that's a reality of life, and this calls us to a vision of something different. This calls us to a vision of seeing peace. And the thing that's so incredible about it is it gives this vision of hope. It gives this vision of peace. And it seems as though it is something that is so far off. So far off. We hear this vision. It sounds great. And we go, we want to sing, "Let there be peace on earth." We want to sing of the hope of all the nations. "Come thou long expected Jesus." But when we read these words, it seems so far off. And the temptation we have is to focus instead on the things that seem more tangible. I think that's why we get so caught up in like the commercial nature of the Christmas season. There are things in the commercial nature of Christmas that are just easy to get lured into. And as you get ready for Christmas, you probably have things that you will engage in, things that you will be a part of. There will be things that are a part of your rhythms. As you keep walking towards Christmas, there will be things that you naturally do. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was growing up, one of the things that we did that was a part of getting ready for Christmas was baking Christmas cookies. Any Christmas cookie bakers out there? Really not that many. Wow. Okay. So we will not expect much at the office, from this service at least. Okay, so, but that was something that we did every year, and we didn't really do it like to share with other people. It was just more just something for fun that we did, just kind of to have around the house. I remember when Emma and I, before we started dating, she actually baked Christmas goodies and brought them around to all the different people that she knew, and I was one of the people that she brought them to. And there's this long-running joke about her being my Christmas present. Long story, different sermon. And so I was with a group of friends at my house for a little Christmas get-together, and she walked in and she delivered the Christmas goodies, and one of the guys turns to me and goes, "Ah, she's the gift that keeps giving." And so that kind of became a running joke as well. In all the years that we've been dating and married, I've never seen her bake Christmas goodies to take to other people. So I think she might have been, you know, trying to fish for something there. Who knows? But, you know, that's something that people do. They get together and they do the baking. They get ready. It might be going and looking at Christmas lights. I know Emma's family was really big into Christmas lights. That was how they got ready for Christmas. That was a part of their traditions. For me, I have to, you know, in my office, I've got little show and tell things. One of my little show and tell things is Hermie the Elf. So Hermie the Elf is one of my favorite characters of all the Christmas movies. He's in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. If you don't remember Hermie doesn't like to make toys, was the narrative about Hermie. He wanted to become a dentist. And the head elf said, "What? A dentist?" And so, I mean, it was this really big scene, really important and crucial to the plot of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And for me, growing up, we always watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when we were decorating for Christmas. Now, when I say we watched it, I mean we watched it off of a VHS tape that was recorded off TV. I kid you not, friends, I was 25 years old before I realized that those commercials weren't actually part of the movie. I just thought that the local stereo install place was a part of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I could quote the commercials as well. But I mean, it was just one of those things that was just ingrained in me growing up, and you just take hold of those things. And sometimes we get caught up in that grandeur. Sometimes we get caught up in the things that seem tangible. We turn to the movies, we turn to the decorations, we turn to the baking exercises, we turn to the parties, and all of those things are things that we can reach out and touch, that we can experience, and that we know the experience we're going to get from it. We know that when it says, "Hermie doesn't like to make toys," that you're going to get excited and you're going to start quoting every single line along with it. Maybe it's Christmas Vacation, whatever your Christmas movie is, we all have those things that we latch hold of that give us excitement this time of year. And then you have this vision that Isaiah's talking about that just seems a little too far off. Seems like something that you can't really take hold of. Sounds good to sing about in our Christmas songs, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Sounds good to put on our Christmas cards, let there be hope on earth and peace on earth, but it's much harder for us to reach out and touch. It seems too far away. But Isaiah is there and he's cheering people on. He's cheering them to the top of the mountain and he's saying, keep walking, keep walking. And this is what he says a few verses later, or a verse later. He says it this way. He says, "Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord." This whole idea of Advent is this mysterious thing, because Jesus has already come. We know Jesus has already come. And we kind of do this weird thing where we know Jesus has already come, but we don't actually talk about him actually being born until we get to Christmas Eve. He's been born already. I mean, it's already happened. But we'll spend the season of Advent talking about his anticipated coming. And there's this idea that Bernard of Clairvaux came up with of there being three Advents. And the way that he described it is the first Advent was Bethlehem. The second Advent is going to be the last days. That's going to be when Christ comes again, that vision that Isaiah is describing there. But Bernard also said that there appears to be kind of this middle Advent as well, where Christ comes to us personally. And when we think about it from that perspective, when we think about it from the perspective of Jesus not just coming to Bethlehem, being born in a manger, Jesus not just coming again in what feels like a far-off, distant vision, but we see it from the perspective of Jesus coming to us personally, that kind of changes things of how we walk through this season. That kind of changes how we walk up the mountain of the Lord. And this is the actual quote where Bernard said it this way. He said, "It is like a road on which we travel from the first coming to the last. In the first, Christ was our redemption. In the last, he will appear as our life. In this middle coming, he is our rest and consolation." He is our rest and consolation. And what he means by that is that in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our journey, as we find ourselves walking along the path, walking the journey of faith, walking as those who have our eyes fixed on a vision leading somewhere we may not even know, we start to see that there emerges this vision of light and rest. This vision of light and rest with those words, "Let us walk in the light of the Lord." The vision of light and rest calls us to see the world as more than just getting ready for Christmas Day. It calls us to view the season of Advent as not just the season that we hustle and bustle and try to fit everything in, like dress like a Grinch day. Who can't wait for that last week of school when we have something different on the calendar every single day that our kids have to get ready for? All that hustle and bustle leads us to enjoy the season and be excited about the season, but it doesn't always leave us at a place of rest. It doesn't always lead us to a place of walking in the light. And so we have these voices, like Isaiah and others we'll encounter along the path, who tell us to keep walking. They tell us to keep walking, and they tell us to keep our eyes on a vision that's bigger than just the immediacy and the commotion of the season, but instead calls us to see a vision of hope, a vision of peace, a vision of light, and a vision of rest. And so for us, as we begin this season, kind of our key takeaway is this. What kind of vision are you walking towards? What kind of vision are you walking towards? When you think about your spiritual life and where you are on this first Sunday of Advent and where God might lead you over the course of the next 24, 25 days, what is the vision of what you are walking towards? I always think the beginning of Advent is this wonderful time to kind of do this self-inventory, to ask myself that question, what is the vision that I am walking towards? What is the light up on the mountain that keeps me focused, that tells me to keep walking towards it? What kind of vision am I living my life according to, and how am I constructing my life around it? There are a few questions we can ask along this. So kind of looking at those four things that kind of are pulled out of this passage. Hope. What is my focus? Am I focused only on the immediate, only on the tangible? Or am I focused on what we hope for and what we long for, the greatness of God, the experience of God, the fullness of God, the hope of what is yet to come? Am I consuming my life with only the things that are immediate and temporary, or am I consuming my life with the things that will be forevermore? What is my focus? Peace, that second question. Are we good? Are we good? Are you good with one another? Are you good with your family? Are you good with your friends? Are there people in your life that you need to be at peace with? We're probably not with the people gathered in this room. Even though there's a lot of wonderful, amazing people here, we're probably not going to be able to solve world peace. But we can solve the peace that's within us. We can solve the peace that are in the relationships reflected by the people that are gathered in this room. Are we good? You've got a 25-day countdown starting tomorrow of steps you can take to find that peace and to make sure those relationships are good. Light. Where is the good? Where is the good? Where are the good things that are happening? How can you walk in the light? How can you walk as people of the light? Is there good that you can go and do? Is there good that you can partner with, whether through missions or through the things that you contribute to or the ways you invest your time? Where is the good? Where is the light? Are you being drawn to the light and the things that shine light into the darkness of a dark world? And then finally, rest. Are we at rest? Are we at peace ourselves? Or are we just so caught up in the commotion that we can't keep our eyes focused on the vision of what truly matters? Are we at rest? What needs to be calmed in your spirit? What needs to be born in you for you to experience the peace of Christ in your life? Are you wrestling? Are you anxious? Are you just not sleeping? Whatever it is, how can you find your rest this season? So hope, what is my focus? Peace, are we good with one another? Light, where is the good that we can be a part of? And finally, rest, am I at rest?